Let's take our Bible again this evening and return, if you would, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 this evening. Tonight we want to consider a few more verses from this chapter which deal with the truth and the importance of the resurrection. This evening I want you to follow along as I begin reading in verse 51. And we'll read down to the end of the chapter. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 51. Paul writes and says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Pray with me, please, as we begin. Father, we thank you tonight that we have the opportunity again to study the truth of the Word of God. We thank you for our Savior, who not only came and gave his life, but conquered sin and conquered death through his resurrection. Father, tonight as we come and we consider the passage before us, as we consider the truth that there is victory in Jesus tonight, then, Father, I pray that you would help us to walk in that victory, that we would be to the praise and the honor and the glory of our Savior who died and rose again. So, Father, we come before you now asking for your help and understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I want to take a few moments really and reflect mainly on verse 57. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Tonight's an opportunity for us to remember again that Jesus Christ completed all that was needed for us. We looked at this morning the passage in verse 3 and 4, the gospel message is simple and it is plain. That he died according to the scripture. He was buried and 3 days later rose again, just as the Bible proclaimed. Because he died and rose again, Paul tells us now at the end of this resurrection chapter that we have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight I want us to see three simple thoughts from this verse. And the first we just mentioned. There is victory in Jesus. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight as we begin to reflect upon this verse of Scripture, there is that wonderful truth simply stated. That there is victory in your life and in mine because of Jesus Christ. We live in that victory. We live as one who is victorious. We are on the winning team. There is victory in Jesus. The gospel tells us how we can be saved. And the reality is those who by faith accept the finished work of Christ on the cross, those that have called upon him to be their Savior, their personal Savior, know the victory that he supplied. I find that to be such a wonderful thought. That I'm on the winning side. Don't you like to win? Don't you like to be on the winning side? We all like to win. We like being on the winning team. I don't know if it's your tradition. Maybe you're not a sports fan, but the reality is we like to pick the winning teams. This is March Madness. That's college basketball, for those of you who don't know who that is. March Madness is a time for you to sit and see how well you know basketball and which team is going to come out on top. So there's these bracket competitions. We like to be the one who says, I pick the winning team. I've done that once in all the years that I've tried. But we like to be on the winning team. We like to pick the winning team. We like to win, even in the simple things, do we not? I don't think anyone enjoys losing. If you do, I think there's got to be something wrong with you. We enjoy winning. I remember when Mark and Amy Herbster were here with us the first time. They introduced us to a board game called Settlers of Catan. Some of you have played that. Now, I like games like that because it's strategy. I also like games where I can just kind of pummel you too, but I like strategy. I enjoy that. And so we were getting the hang of it. So I remember the one night we were sitting there and Joel Buckingham, our intern, was there. He was here for the summer. Joel was there, and he decided to play with us that night, and they were helping Joel, and I had this game finally figured out. I had my strategy all in place. I was one turn away from winning. It's a great feeling. One turn away. In my turn, I lost it all, and the next turn, Joel won. Didn't even know how he won the game. I'm still not upset about that one. Couldn't believe it. We had been at it for about an hour as they were trying to explain it. And I had it all figured out. One final turn. I just couldn't get seven. I rolled seven. Lost everything. And he won. Oh, look at that. I won. I was glad it was the end of the summer and he was going home. We like to win. Whether it be something as simple as playing on a team or playing a board game, let's face it, we like to win our arguments, don't we? You don't have to say yes to that one, but the reality is you do like to win an argument as well. We like to be on the winning side. It's a wonderful feeling to win. You know what 1 Corinthians 15 tells me? I'm on the winning side. Every day of my life, I'm on the winning side. Because Jesus Christ gave me the victory. I want you to notice with me a couple thoughts tonight about this victory that's been given to us. In fact, it tells us two basic areas at which we are winners day by day. Number one, Scripture tells us that I'm on the victory side, that there is victory over death. There's victory over death. Look at verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. Jump down to verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? There's victory over death. In verse 54, Paul is here quoting to us from Isaiah 25 and verse 8 that death is swallowed up in victory. There is victory for us over death. In Christ, we have been delivered from death, and there is nothing for us to fear. For many, death brings fear. They don't know what to expect if they were to die. They're frightened of the experience, the great unknown. For centuries, man has recognized that there is something after death. But many have never understood what. But in Jesus Christ, that fear is removed. Because even if I die in this world, I'll be raised again to an incorruptible body. The Bible tells me that there are two existences after a physical death. There is either eternal life in Jesus Christ, or there is eternal punishment for those who reject the Savior. For those of us who know Him, I'm reminded there is victory over death. Verse 55 and 56 are wonderful verses. I think I relate to them because I think in Paul's statement there's even somewhat of a tone of sarcasm. He has kind of won, and he knows he has won, and it's, in the sports terminology, it's a little bit of a trash talk in somewhat. Because Paul makes it very clear, oh death, where is your sting? There's no sting for him anymore. Oh grave, where's your victory? And then he tells us the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. We have nothing to fear. Death does not bring fear to us. It will not fright us, because I have the victory through Jesus Christ. Because of the wonderful gospel message, I'm reminded that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. I have nothing to fear. There's victory for us. This world lives in fear of death. But for the believer, they can face it so wonderfully, so graciously, as they understand that they are heading to their final home. But secondly, there is victory over sin. There is victory over sin. That victory is mentioned to us in this passage as we see that there is a victory over death and a victory over sin. Verse 56 says, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. That which gives death its sting is sin. But there is no sting in death, because there is victory over sin. Under the law, we find that sin brings estrangement from God. And the law makes it clear that sin brings forth death. Yet in Christ, death has been conquered. And if death is conquered, then so also is sin conquered. And there is victory for us over sin. I wonder tonight, as we celebrate Easter and the victory of our Savior, I wonder tonight if you're living in light of that blessed truth that sin has no victory over you. What a wonderful reality tonight as we gather together to know that sin does not have dominion over us, because Christ gave us the victory. The author of Hebrews in chapter 12 in verse 1 gives us this challenge. Lay aside the sins that so easily beset us and the weights which weigh us down. The apostle there in his writing reminds us that there are sins that so easily beset us, but they need to be set aside. Because you and I in this race are already guaranteed to be victorious. Jesus Christ gave us the victory. But for us, there are some sins that get us off track. There are some weights that slow us down. The question is, are you and I walking and running freely in the Christian life? Do we know the joy of serving the Lord apart from the weight of those besetting sins? Now, folks, the reality is this. There are many besetting sins, and we probably all have our own. But the reality is, we must live in light of the victory that God has given. And if we understand that victory, we must set aside those sins. Every person has those things which seem to beset them. And by the way, so does every church. Churches tend to be known by certain things. We have our reputations. Sometimes churches are known by certain things which they ought not to be known by. And it's the responsibility of a congregation to change that, not to excuse those things. The challenge is that we must recognize them. We must set them aside. If your problem is a sin of the tongue, whether it be lying or gossiping about others, or willing slander of other people, while at the same time trying to pass off yourself as giving blessing to others. By the way, can the same tongue send out blessing and cursing? It's a problem there. If that's our problem, then we need to set that aside. We need to begin to claim the victory that God has given. Maybe yours is a sin of temperament. Then if that's the case, you have to work hard to set aside that evil attitude and replace it with another. Now, folks, that's not always easy. Sometimes when folks hurt us, sometimes when they do things against us, it's hard for us not to want to get right in the flesh. It's hard for us not to want to retaliate and want vengeance for what they've done for us. I'll be real transparent with you tonight. Sometimes it's not easy to be a pastor. There are some people who think that it is their God-given responsibility to humble the pastor by constant criticism and complaints. It's not easy. It's hard sometimes when people level those things at you. It's hard sometimes when people make choices and decisions that they know are intended to hurt you. I'm so thankful tonight that I have a group of people around me that are there to help me, encourage me, and pray for me. This past week, we had a situation where someone leveled their criticism and their complaints, and it was hard to hear. There may be some truth to it, but there was a harshness about their criticism and complaints, and I had an opportunity to talk to a pastor friend of mine. I'm so thankful for other pastors who will allow you to share and be able to share the same burdens of ministry. And he said, you know what, as I hear that, let me give you a verse of scripture you need to think through. I said, I want to thank you for that. I needed that one today. I'm thankful for deacons and for staff members who have taken the time to get to know me. I realize I may not be the easiest guy to get to know. But I'm thankful for those who work with me and have taken the time to get to know me. I'm thankful that they allow me to come and unburden my heart to them when things aren't going the way they should be, to get their counsel, to have them pray for me and help me. See, I have a choice in all of those. I can get angry and I can sin. Or I can go and get counsel and I can say, how do you help me through this? Pray for me. Give me some thoughts in this. I need that from you. See, you have a choice in the way that you live, folks. You can continue to be the kind of person who sins and goes against people. Or you can make a choice to say, you know what, there's victory in Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for those men. I'm thankful for my staff that I can talk with. I want to encourage you with something tonight. There may be times that you don't understand. There may be times you don't agree. I want to encourage you with something. Learn to handle that right. And learn to handle that biblically. It's not picking up a phone and criticizing to someone else or complaining about your pastor. I've never claimed to be perfect to you folks, but neither are you. And we have to learn to love one another because we've already been given the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe the problem is a sin of unbelief. Maybe you just struggle to have the faith to believe that God is able to do all things. Even though he is challenging you to do it, you say, I don't think I can. Well, Hebrews chapter 3 reminds us that there is a sin of unbelief that needs to be fought. And we have to deal with that biblically and properly. Why? That we might walk by faith and not by sight. Be pleasing to the Lord. Maybe it's a sin of lust and immorality. Then that sin has to be forsaken and purity restored. That's what Paul dealt with in the church at Corinth to whom he's now writing. But understand, there is victory over sin. There is victory. And by the way, let me say this to you. Sometimes you may struggle because you look at some and you look at their life and you see the choices that they're making and you want to be judgmental on them and say, how come they can't seem to get this? Your job and responsibility at a time such as that is to pray for them that God will give them the victory, that they will begin to claim that in their own life. You and I are called to live according to the exhortation of Romans 6, verse 11 and 12, that we are to reckon ourselves dead indeed to sin and alive unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and not allow sin to reign in our mortal bodies or in our spiritual body. Folks, you and I need to learn that there is victory over death and there is victory over sin. We need to live in that victory. If you're not tonight, it's time you claim that victory. I want you to look at a second thought, though. Be thankful for this victory in Jesus. Be thankful for this victory in Jesus. Look at verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. We ought to be filled with a heart of gratitude for the victory that we have received in Christ. Thanks be to God. Not only are we to live in light of that victory, but we have to give thanks for it. Is your heart tonight filled with an attitude of gratitude for what Jesus Christ did for you? Are your lips filled with praise? Will that spill over this week as you have opportunity to share the good news of the gospel? Be ready to give a reason of the hope that lieth within you. We need to be careful not to simply go through the motions of service, but our heart and our lips must proclaim our gratitude for the victory that Christ has given to us. Again, I think of the words of the crowd this morning. The stone is rolled away, so we should just be silent. No, the whole world needs to know. See, folks, we ought to be thankful and share our gratitude with others. Jesus Christ assured us a great victory, and our heart ought to be filled with thanksgiving and gratitude that overflows and affects all those around us. My heart really does break for those that have lost their heart of gratitude. For those whose every thought about another and about the church is always negative. Those whose words seem to be filled with hate. Folks, really nothing in this life ought to steal the gratitude of your heart for what Jesus Christ did for you. Really, what can rob you of that gratitude? Some trials, some testing? Well, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Not tribulation, not persecution, nothing. And so we might struggle for a moment or two with our perspective, but we ought to get back to a heart of gratitude and realize that nothing should take that from us. We have been given the victory, and for that victory we should be thankful. Finally, I want you to see with me that this victory is only made possible by Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no victory, folks, apart from Him. Some may wonder why they can't seem to have the victory over sin that the Bible seems to so readily proclaim. Because you're doing it in the flesh. Some churches wonder why they don't seem to have the victory that God says that the church gates of hell will not prevail against us. How come we don't see that? Because it only comes through Jesus Christ. Only through Him. Our victory only comes through Christ and Him alone. Victory is applied when we willingly yield our lives to the life of Jesus Christ. It is when our life, our old sinful life, is set aside and that new life in Christ is lived out in me that I know that victory. Paul said it this way to the church of Galatia. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul says, there was a resurrection. Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. Without the resurrection, our preaching, our life, our claims are all in vain. But he did rise. He is alive. And because of that, we have been given the victory through him. There is victory tonight in Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad for that? We ought to be thankful for it, should we not? That ought to come forth at the praise of your lips this week. God gave me the victory. And it only comes through Jesus Christ and him alone. We have to apply that victory to our lives. See, we can allow the sin to continue to so easily beset us. We can make our excuses. Well, that's just who we are. Well, we're never going to get anywhere until that old man is crucified with Christ and his life is now lived through us. You say, I don't know that that's really possible. Well, here's the truth. Jesus Christ was tempted in all points just like you and I are, yet without sin. So when we allow that life of Christ to be lived through us, we can get over the sin of our tongue, because he never spoke an ill word. We can get over the sin of our temperament, because he was never wrongly in anger. We can get over the sins of our lives that so easily beset us, because he faced everything we face, yet he did it perfectly without sin. There was no point that he was not tempted like you and I are. He was tempted in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And every time he had the victory, so can you and I. When our life is crucified with him, and he lives through us. Thanks be to God that gave us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. No wonder why Paul concludes, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And I love this last phrase. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain. What a blessing. We can sometimes look around and wonder, is what I'm doing worth it all? When it's done for the Lord, it is never in vain. Never. Every pastor, every deacon, every Sunday school teacher, every Christian school teacher, and every Christian that sits in a pew who says, I want to serve Jesus Christ in some way, ought to rejoice that what I do for him always counts, even if I don't see the result, because my labor is not in vain. He has given us the victory. Let us live in the victory of the Son of God. Pray with me, please, as we close.